podcast from AusCert's 2009 conference is brought to you by Microsoft. For full risky business coverage of AusCert, point your browser to risky.biz.
Hello everyone and welcome to Risky Business 2 here on risky.biz. I'm Patrick Gray. As you know from the intro, our coverage of AusCert is sponsored by Microsoft. And so we're doing these sponsored interviews about Microsoft's stuff. That's okay because it's all pretty interesting, as it turns out. Now, in this interview with Microsoft's Secure Development Lifecycle big kahuna, Steve Lipner, we discuss the company's decision to release an SDL template for Visual Studio, which is designed to allow third-party developers to use Microsoft's SDL workflow. Pretty interesting stuff. Enjoy.
What we've done is taken the current version of Microsoft's Security Development Lifecycle, which is our process for improving the security of the software we ship, and encoded it in a template that can be plugged in to Visual Studio team system. And that enables development organizations that are using Visual Studio to apply the SDL as part of their normal development process and environment. So it just makes the SDL that much easier to use and more consumable.
Now, I remember last time we spoke, you'd made reference to some tools that were going to come out in a few months, and I presume these are they. And how popular is Visual Studio as a development tool? It's pretty much the number one, isn't it?
Visual Studio is very widely used. I'm not in the marketing department, so I don't know exactly, but I believe it's one of the very top development environments that organizations use. I know that we've heard from the Visual Studio folks that the template will be accessible or usable to hundreds of thousands of developers now that it's released.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned marketing there, because I imagine it's great to have this for a security reason, but I imagine also it gives the marketing department an edge when they're trying to actually ship Visual Studio, because they can say, "Hey, now comes with SDL."
Well, we hope that they'll do that. The template is a free download. It's not in the box because we're actually between Visual Studio releases. But if you're a Visual Studio user, you just go to the SDL website and you can download and click to install it, and it integrates right with Visual Studio.
Sure. Now, surely, though, using a proper solid SDL, like a really robust process, can't be as simple as a template. Do you worry that it's something that you've deployed that could potentially be misused by people who don't have the skills to really know how to use it?
Well, there's we've also released a lot of other information about the SDL, including guidance and a documented version of the SDL, as well as the template. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But in terms of the template, what it actually does is take the SDL, break it up into individual tasks and deliverables, and then makes those tasks and deliverables available as work items for Visual Studio. And for each of the work items that the template adds, there's associated documentation or help text or so on, so that you're not just sitting there with a batch of indecipherable jargon. You actually have the help right online in the Visual Studio tool to tell you what the task means, what tools to use, what to do.
So really, this is just a case of flipping a switch and then having all of that sort of workflow imposed on you by choice, so that it guides you step by step to get through it.
That's correct. And it talks to we provide guidance about using the Microsoft compiler and linkers and the SDL threat modeling tool. And we also provide information if you're using a third-party tool, not a Microsoft tool that plugs into Visual Studio. Then we also talk about how to integrate that with the template as well. And that's all part of the template release that you get and download.
Now, one of the reasons I suspect that Microsoft has done this is because we've seen the bugs move from the operating system to the browser, now to sort of other applications like Office and stuff, and we're starting to see them move into third-party apps like Acrobat Reader is a big one at the moment. Is that one of the reasons why Microsoft has done this is because the trend seems to be for the really nasty bugs to sort of start popping up in third-party software?
Yeah, exactly so, Patrick. Our statistics show that the percentage of software vulnerabilities that affect operating systems and browsers is going down. It's actually dropped from around 40% back in 1998 to something in the 10-ish percent range now. The other thing is that the percentage of disclosed vulnerabilities affecting the top five or so ISVs has dropped, and it's well under 20% too, as I recall. So users are at risk not only from Microsoft software or from software from major ISVs. Users are at risk from the software they develop in-house, and they're at risk from software from smaller or more specialized ISVs. So we want everybody using a secure development process just to make the internet a safer place.
Yeah, it's pretty sad being owned through your IM client or something like that, isn't it? It just sort of...
Well, and actually we've seen instances of vulnerable IM clients not from Microsoft. So you may have just made that up as a hypothetical, but that's actually something that we've seen happen.
Well, hearing about stuff like that happening, it's sort of like hearing about someone who survived cancer and then slipped over and died in the shower. Do you know what I mean?
I do indeed. Of course, I mean, if you're running the software and it has access to your information and it's accessible to the internet, then you want it secure. And so releasing the SDL is all about helping development organizations release the secure software that their customers need.
Well, I know you released a whole swathe of information a few months ago, which is why we spoke, and now you've released these tools. You actually did release some tools last time as well. What's next on the roadmap? Can you share, or is this sort of something where the PR department will kick your ass for talking about it?
Well, let me talk for a minute about the other thing that we released yesterday or day before that may be of interest to you and your listeners.
Sure.
And that is that we, in addition to the Visual Studio template, we also released a document that I referred to a minute ago that has the SDL version 4.1 process description, and that includes guidance for both for Box product development, basically for C or C++ programmers, and also for web application developers. And so if an organization isn't using Visual Studio, if they're not even developing on the Microsoft platform, they can still refer to the documentation that we've released and understand how to apply the SDL in their environment, whatever it is.
It's interesting to me that you mentioned web applications, because we had on the show, I think it was last week, Jeremiah Grossman, who's quite a well-known web application security guy, and he was saying that the ROI justification for using an SDL in a web app doesn't always stack up. He said it's always a good idea anyway for security's sake, but it's one of those areas where the cost model might not necessarily stack up, because it's just a different kettle of fish to writing compiled binary applications.
Yeah, you asked about the future, without going into specifics that would cause the marketing department to get upset with me, a couple of things. I mean, we do continue to work on tools that may be of benefit to customers, and this week's announcements won't be the last on the automation front. The other thing is that one of the areas that we are focused on is the whole matter of web applications and how to make that practice secure in a way that's consumable by web application development organizations.
So you're going to make it easier, basically.
When we started out doing the SDL, we there were a handful of us, probably 20 people, maybe fewer, and you know, and we were sort of faced with over 30,000 developers. So so everything that we've been trying to do is focused on scalability and ease of use. How do you make it possible to build secure software and do that without requiring basically one security consultant for three developers or something?
Mm-mm. Well, let's hope that you can change that ROI equation with some more releases like this one. Steve Lipner, thank you very much for joining us on Risky Business.
Thank you very much, Pat.
We'll be right back.